The message today is and the changing of names. Mark chapter 5. I'll read three scriptures covering the subject and then tell you more in the will of God as we go along. Mark chapter 5. Our Lord has just crossed the sea and come into the country. Verse 2, and when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. For he said unto him, Come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, What is your name? And he saith unto him, My name is Legion, for we are many. Now John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 40. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found at first his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. He brought him unto Jesus. Jesus looked upon him and said, You are Simon, the son of John. Who shall be called Cephas, which is thy interpretation, Peter. Now let's look at a portion in Revelation, Revelation 2, Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth, but he that receiveth it. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, we are thankful for everything that you tell us in the Word of God. We are thankful that our hearts are like those of the Thessalonians, that when we heard it, we received it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth. The Word of God, which effectually works in us. And that is our prayer today, that all who come wondering about the things that have been read and whether the Bible is the Word of God, we pray, Father, that they shall go away saying, It is the Word of God, and it is worked effectually in me. This can be accomplished, our Father, if thy Spirit works upon the hearts of those who listen and empowers the lips of him who speaks. So grant us that request this morning. You know our sins, we confess them. As you promised, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you like your name? Some people would say, I certainly do. And others would say, I hate my name. Well, very few of us have anything to do about the name that was first given to us. Most of us had those names given to us. And it was so in the Bible. What is so remarkable is about the names in the Bible. Some are given names by fathers, some by mothers. Some names are given by God. And some names are kept, and some names are changed. And some people like their names, and some people dislike their names. My mother, she told me this, she disliked her name. Today, her name would have been very popular, Penelope. Her name was Blanche Penelope Creel. Penny, that's a pretty name. But she didn't like it, and so she changed it to Margaret. I have a cousin who had a lovely name. He didn't like the name, so he changed his name. But understand that in these cases, the reason they did not like the name is because of the sound of the name, what was associated with the name. But that is of no significance. Now, I've had my name changed 3 times. My name is John Milton Mills. And if I go to some sections of the country, they'll say, our brother Milton Mills. And other sections of the country, our brother John Mills. Now, that can be good or bad. I'll tell you why. I remember years ago going to visit one of the paratroopers in Federal who had been hurt. He was in the hospital. And I went with this brother, and he introduced me to him. He said, this is our brother, John Mills. And he said, oh, John Mills, he said, are you any kin to that famous preacher, Milton Mills? And I said, yes, very close kin. He said, what kin are you to him? I said, I am John Milton Mills. Oh, the people that I was brought up with until I was 17 years old only knew me as Milton. And then, when I enlisted in the Navy in the Second World War, my name was changed to Mills. They always called me Mills when I was in the service. And then, when I went to Canada, and they asked me, what is your name? I said, my name is John Milton Mills. They said, John, welcome to Emmaus Bible School. So I was called John from then on. And so my wife calls me John, and all the people that knew me in Raleigh, North Carolina years ago, they call me Milton. And if I see any of my old buddies that I was in the war with, here is Mills. And so I have no objections. Milton, I answer to that. John, why, that's an easy name. But the significance of the names is important. And now that I found out what John Mills means, why, that's beautiful. It means favored of the Lord. Who could have a finer name? Milton, that just means I came from a mill town. Just like Mills, it's wherever mills were. But John, the name that was given to me, that means favored of God. And my mother knew nothing about it when she gave it to me. But it was my father's name, and that name was passed on to me. But some of us have names, and the names in the Bible that are given to them usually have some significance, like this. When Jacob was born, he had his brother Esau by the heel. And the name Jacob means the supplanter, the grasper. And so he was called Jacob. That's something that happened historically. Others have given their children names because of something associated with them, not with the child when they were born. You remember that when Jacob married Rachel, her last child, after Joseph, she only had two, Joseph, and the other child, as she was dying, she said, called him Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob, the father, canceled that out and said, no, he shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand. But you see, at least in the Bible, there was a significance to names. There was something historical about it. There was a prayer in the name. There was hope in the name, like this. The first one who ever gave names in the Bible, the first human being, was Adam. And that was so interesting. God had instilled in Adam the ability to discern and associate what he saw with a name. And God did not tell him the names of the animals, but he brought up this animal, and Adam looked at it and said, that's a horse. And God said, then it's a horse. And he brought another one and he said, that is a cow. God said, that's a cow. He said, that is a sheep. So there was something that struck the mind of Adam, and he gave names to all the animals, and he gave his wife her name as well, Eve. He called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You see the historical significance about it. And then Eve called her first son Cain, which means Ghana. Gotten, I've gotten the man of the Lord. That's what she thought. But then the second son that was born, Abel, a sigh, vanity, emptiness. She understood about things. She had great hopes when she said, Cain, a man of the Lord, but she looked at the way this child lived, and then the next child came along, and she was more realistic then, and she said, we'll call him Abel, a sigh, vanity. So, we have different names, and some people have been given names by their parents, and they dislike those names, and yet, if you ask the parents, some would say today, and it's such a shame, they've seen some lewd movie star or someone on television, and they say, oh, I like that man's name, this woman's name, to associate that child with those lewd, wicked persons. But it used to be that people would give biblical names, and in my neighborhood, there's one called Ezekiel, and I had an uncle named Augustine, but Ezekiel, we call him Zeke, and Augustine, we call him Gus, but at least they thought of great people, and they thought of things in the Bible. And I told you that at times, fathers give names, mothers give names, and there is a reason these names are given, but at times, God gives the names. And God is he who has told people that these names are to be given. I just mentioned two of them. God sent an angel, and he said, now, there is a son to be born to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and that son's name is to be John, favored of the Lord. And when it came time to name the child, they asked, what's his name going to be? And they thought his name would be Zacharias after his father. But no, his name shall be John. But there's nobody named John. His name shall be John. And when that happened, his voice and hearing returned again. But you see, God said his name is to be called John, favorite of the Lord, and also as Savior, twice in Matthew and in Luke. What's this child's name to be called that is born of Mary? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why call him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, that is what is so beautiful. Favorite of the Lord. He shall save his people from their sins. There was a significance behind the names given to them. And because of that, the message I am giving you today is entitled The Giving of Names and the Changing of Names. Because if someone has given you a name, and that name is derogatory, that name is unsuitable, then you can change the name, or someone else can change the name. But if you change it, it may not be valid and it may not be true. But there are names that I read you about, and God changed them. And that is what is so important. I'm going to tell you about some names that God changed, and I'm hoping that all of you here this morning have had your name changed, or have lived up to the name that was given you by your parents unbeknowingly, and that name does not need to be changed. Why should I ever change my name from favored of God, the grace of God? Why, there's nothing more beautiful than that. So, my mother did not know that there was a prophecy there, but there was. And so, I'm not going to change that name. And if old friends call me Milton, that's what I was born. Just like Simon, that's the name when he was born. And in the Bible, he calls himself at times one name and then another. At times, Simon Peter. That's his old name that he was given when he was born. And Peter, the new name that was given to him later in his life when he met the Lord. So it's important. Some of you here are associated with the name you were born with. That's the only name you've ever been given. It's the only name that is true concerning you. Because any man who has been given a natural name and he hasn't received a new name from God, you're like Legion. Do you understand that? Here is one who is called Legion, and that in honesty is something that happened to him. And all of you who were given a name when you were born, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you should take along another name like Legion. Why? Because you are not your own. You're controlled by someone, and that someone is not God. And that is what is so disheartening, that a man is given a name, and he's just a human being, an ordinary person, a descendant of Adam, but then a time comes in his life, and Satan takes possession of that man. He fills that man's soul. He controls him. So that man, even though he was a sinner when he was born, now he's completely controlled by Satan as a sinner. And in truth, he's been given the name Legion. Why? Because he's lost control of himself, and satanic influences are ruling his life, and so why not let us truthfully call the man Legion? When the Savior asked, "What is your name?" he had to tell the truth because he was in the presence of the Savior. And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Understand that whoever this demon-possessed person was, his name was not mentioned because he had lost his identity, and now his identity was taken up with demons, and they called him Legion, because he's filled with demons. Now tell me about your name. Can you honestly say that your name is just one that your father, your mother gave you, and you're not a big sinner or a little sinner, and you go by that name? Or have you fallen low in sin, and you're controlled by Satan, the god of this world, and you should have your name changed? The sad thing is this, that if some of us thought over our lives, we would say, "Yes, I'm not worthy to be called that name, Joseph, that my mother gave me, or Thomas, that my father gave me. But considering the life that I'm living now, I ought to be called something like Legion, because there are other influences in my life. It may be satanic influences. It may be evil friends that you have. And so your name ought to be changed to something like Legion, because you're controlled by outside sources, and some of us are possessed by Satan, and we ought to be called Legion." But we've lost our identity. That's the sad thing. It says in Luke chapter 7, there was a woman who in the city was a sinner. Isn't that sad? Whatever she was when she was a little girl, her reputation is gone, and she's known in the city as a sinner. A woman who in the city was a sinner. Isn't that sad? And I remember one brother, and this is so heartbreaking, that before he was saved, he had trouble with drink, and even now, he has trouble with drink. There are long periods of sobriety, but then he will go back to drink. And someone was speaking of him, and they asked, "Do you know this brother? Or what's his name?" And his name was mentioned. They said, "Oh, you mean that drunkard? Yes, I know him." Isn't that a sad thing? That he had lost his identity as just an ordinary sinner, but now he is a drunkard. And some are whoremongers, and some are gamblers. And this man's name was Legion, because his name had been changed, not for good, but for evil, but there was truth in that name. So it's better not to have a false name. Look at this man in the temple. "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men." Well, that's the name hypocrite. You see, some of you are religious, some of you pray to God, and God said concerning that hypocrite that's praying to him, boasting about what he is, he said he's nothing but a sinner. He went back to his home the same way he came from his home. There was that other one that smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here I am. I'm a sinner. I'm Legion. I know what my name is." And God had mercy on him, and he went home justified. So have you taken the name that should be your name, Legion, sinner, whoremonger, drunkard? Have you taken that name? If the Lord Jesus said, "What is your name?" you wouldn't be able to lie to him. You may be able to stand up in church and see it, but if his eyes are there as a flame of fire and he says, "What is your name?" you're going to tell him what you are. You're going to say, "I'm a sinner." Well, what is so beautiful about the message today is this, is that it is about the giving and the changing of names. What if your name that was given to you, and then the life that you lived caused your name to be altered? What if you had to live until you died with the name Legion, with the name drunkard, whoremonger, sinner? But what is so lovely is that if Jesus comes into your life, he can look upon you and he knows what you are. He said to Legion, "What is your name?" He asked that question not for his own information, but for the information of the man who was going to tell him his name, to let him know what he had become, what he was, to show him his identity. And so when Simon Peter comes to the Savior looks upon him, and he says, "You are Simon, the son of John, but you shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, Peter. Now, that's an encouragement. Simeon, see a son. That is what Leah said when this child was born, Simeon. So that's a good name, a mutual kind of name. But the Savior said, that's not good enough. What is going to happen is this. In time, you are going to be called Cephas. Now that is the same meaning as the Greek word Peter. It means a rock. So here was a prophecy, a prediction of the Lord that what you are now, even though it's kind of a neutral thing. You see, it wasn't that you were Simon and you were changed to Legion and you have to get a new name, but you're Simon and you just remain Simon the whole life long. And that's why some of you are not alarmed about being lost and going to hell. Why? Because you say, "Why, I'm Simon, I'm Joe, or nobody's ever called me drunkard or Legion." And that's the way that some of us go through life. We've never done anything so bad that we are characterized by that badness, but we're just like we were when we were born. And the Savior says you must be born again. And if you have the same name that you were given when you were born, and there hasn't been a spiritual change, then if you were born Simeon or Simon, then that's who you are, and you'll die Simon, and you'll go to hell. If your name is Legion, but you meet the Lord Jesus, you can die and go to heaven. And if your name is Simon, your name can be changed to Cephas or Peter. And so this is the giving and the changing of names. Some people never live up to the names that they are given. Like one man who went through life, he said, my parents call me Alexander Caesar Armstrong. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar Armstrong. And he said, I'm nothing but a weakling, and here I go through life. He could never live up to that name. But others, and what is so sad is this, that they're given the names, and their names fit them perfectly, if their parents gave them or whoever gave them, because that's what they are. When Jacob was born, taking hold of his brother's heel as he came out of the womb, Jacob, he's a supplanter. He's one that is a grasper. That name fit him perfectly until the day he met God and he wrestled with God. Now, the sad thing is this, that some are given our names, and I told you a name, Simon. That's not bad. But there was one in the Bible called Nabal, which means a fool. And so we would say, hey, fool. That would be an insult, but that was his name. Nabal means the fool. And his own wife had to say it, and it's so sad. Nabal is his name, and he's lived up to that name. That's what he is. So think of this. Some of you have been given nicknames, and those names stuck with you. But it's so sad if you have a name like that of a fool and you never change, when that name could be changed. If your name is Legion and you're controlled by Satan, the god of this world, that name can be changed. And if your name is Simon, that name can be changed. But some of you are fools, Nabals, and you're going to be given that name, and you're going to live with that name, and you're going to die with that name. Born a fool, you've lived a fool, and you're going to die a fool. And I say that because these are the words of the Scripture, not calling you something that you are not, but calling you something that God tells you about. And so every man is a fool who lives as he was born and does not have that name changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope is this, that in Revelation 2, and this is the hope for you, because the Savior, when he was on earth, met men. He met Simon and changed his name. He met Legion and changed his name. He met that woman who in the city was a sinner, and she was changed. The Lord Jesus is one who gives names and changes names. But some of you have names, and you're going to live and die with them. And you do not have to live and die with them, because the same Savior who on earth changed names says in Revelation chapter 2, I will give you a white stone, and upon that stone a new name written. Isn't that lovely? If when I get to heaven, I'm going to get a reward, understand this, salvation is free. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But everything that you have in the world to come is going to be earned other than your salvation. The Savior says in Revelation, seven times, to him that overcometh will I give. And so, after you trust Christ as Savior, what you get has to be earned. And that is what I'm talking about now in the case of some of you who have been saved, I'm wondering if the Savior looked at you at the first when you were saved and saw any prospects that you would ever amount to anything worthy enough to have your name changed. You say, well, why do you ask that? Who would have ever thought, looking at Simon, the way he acted, that he would ever be worthy of having his name changed? But the Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, you're not always going to go by the name Simon. In the future, you're going to be called Peter. Now understand, two things took place. He looked upon him at first and he told him that a change was going to take place. But he did not say, your name is Peter. He said, you shall be called Peter. And in Matthew chapter 16, when our Savior was in Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, caught them off guard. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, why, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And he said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Finally, that prophecy, the potential that he saw in him, was realized. And he said, now, your name is Peter. But what is so sad about Peter is this, that he never called him Peter but one time, and I take it he called him Peter in an ironical way. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 22. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you his wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Simon said to him, I am prepared to go to prison and die with you. And our Savior said, I say unto thee, Peter, that before the cock crow this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see the irony in that? He said, Simon, Simon. But now, Peter says, I am a rock. And the Savior said, I say unto thee, rock. You're going to deny me three times today before the cock crow. So some of us have potential, and some of us at times advance in life, and we live up to that potential a little bit. But then if we start boasting, my name is Peter, I'm a rock, the Savior says, Simon, Simon. But thank God for this. Finally, in Acts 2 and in Acts 4, he lives up to the name Peter. It says that when Peter with John rose to his feet and he boldly proclaimed Christ as Savior at the risk of his life, it said that when his listeners saw the boldness, they took knowledge that he had been with Jesus. And so I'm wondering if there is any potential in you, because some of you, and this is what is so sad, I've known Christians all their life long, and they're just the same today as they were yesterday. Not going to be an improvement. They'll read their Bible a little bit, but they're not going to read it much. They'll give God a little bit, not going to give him much. They'll do a little work for God, but not much. Never going to change. And I've seen others that have made great advances for God. And so I wonder if God looks at you, if he sees any potential, if he says there's a time coming when your name is going to be changed from Simon to Peter, or if he just looks at you and says, you're going to remain the way you are the rest of your life. Well, the giving of names and the changing of names, you do not have to keep the name that was given to you. Jesus can change that name. Be an overcomer and get a new name. Time is gone. Let us pray.